From Hollywood, California, and an invasion base facing the coast of Europe, Autolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the command theater of the air, starring Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest for tonight, Miss Olivia de Havilland. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, batteries, wire, cable, and electrical systems for automobile, aviation, and marine use. Here is your host, Mr. Ronald Coleman.
Thank you and good evening. We cannot escape history. Dinosaurs crawled all over the ages. Airplanes moved through swiftly accelerated hours. And this morning's newspaper tells us that history is moving faster than ever. Too fast for that overfed, overdecorated, overconfident German who, not so long ago, was given to boasting...
Listen! It is Hermann Göring who tells you this. If so much as one bomb falls on German soil, you can call me Meyer. So call me Meyer.
Yes, we're dealing it out to Hermann Göring Meyer now. But there was a time it was the other way around. And our play tonight is set against those dark days. England in 1940, after Dunkirk. It's a story you will remember, I'm sure, as I know you will remember the performance of our lovely guest, Miss Olivia de Havilland. When the curtain falls, there are two Canadians overseas with whom we'll have a bit of conversation. And it is to them and to the armed forces abroad that we dedicate this global half hour.
Talk about surprises. The Japs had a real one handed to them last November 14th, it was recently revealed. The battleship South Dakota was steaming just off the Sable Islands in the Solomons. Suddenly, a swarm of 39 Jap planes swooped down. Easy pickings, they thought. And then the South Dakota began to speak for herself with all the eloquence in her mighty anti-aircraft batteries. 32 of the 39 Jap planes were shot out of the sky. The others limped home to tell Tojo the sad story. All our hearts beat with pride at the report of this engagement, and it's news like this that spurs our war production. So it is in Autolite's great plant. Some of them are turning out fuses for 40-millimeter anti-aircraft shells for Navy guns. Tiny as they are, the rotors, springs, pegs, firing pins, and timing devices Autolite builds are precision-made. Success in battle depends upon their accuracy and performance. The manufacture of these delicate and intricate mechanisms is another example that the name Autolite means precision manufacturing. The play, Major Eric Knight, This Above All, adapted from the 20th Century Fox production. The players, Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest, Miss Olivia de Havilland.
You know, them Jerrys make me mad.
Why? Because they may be right.
What's the matter? Your blooming moods again? Ah, look. Why don't you let yourself have some fun? I'm going over to the WAF camp. Got a date with Violet. Why don't you come along, huh?
What for?
Oh, maybe she can get that other girl. The one you met the other night, you know?
Miss Prudence Cathaway of Cathaway Manor. Now slumming as a private in the WAF? No, thank you.
Oh, she's awful pretty. She seems to like you.
Ah, you... You go along with Violet. Two's company, you know.
Oh, but there won't be two, there'll be four. Oh, come along. Now we're late.
Weren't Violet and her young man a little bit obvious? I mean, about leaving us alone.
Oh, I dare say Cathaway Manor is more subtle about those things.
You're making distinctions again. But the rain isn't. My uniform is getting soaked.
What do the others do on a lovely night like this?
Oh, they find a tea shop or the back row of the cinema.
I expect all the back rows are full by now. How about that place? Over there, off the road.
That shed? What do you think?
Can't you ever forget your name is Prudence?
Should I?
I believe it's indicated. If you want to get dry. It's quite snug in here at that, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Quite.
Cold?
A little, but I don't mind.
Oh, that's silly. Look, I've got a flask.
No, thanks. I never touch it.
Well, go on. Do you good. Here.
Well, just get warm.
That's the way. How was it?
Wonderful.
I think I'll have a touch of the same.
Goes down easier for you.
Oh, yeah, it should. Did you ever get blotto? Blind, unconscious blotto?
No. Did you?
Yeah, many times. Recently.
Why?
Why not?
Well, people generally have a reason for going blind, blotto, out, don't they?
I suppose so. Sorry we met?
No. But I'm sure my Aunt Iris wouldn't approve. She's a bit of a snob, I'm afraid. Very particular about my young men. Why aren't you in uniform?
Oh, never mind me. What about you?
Me? Oh, I've been living in camp. Gets lonely, you know. Just women.
Yeah, sometimes a man gets lonely, too. Sometimes he wants to hold a girl close, put his arms around her, feel her lips.
Oh, please. People.
All right. Go ahead now. Act like they do at Catherway Manor. Tell me off for daring to kiss you.
No. As a matter of fact, I think I liked it. And I think I like you, Clive. I think I like you very much. Oh, I'm so glad I came. The country's beautiful, isn't it?
Beautiful?
That's a watercress farm we're passing. Did you know you can grow watercress on old pieces of flannel? One of our gardeners used to do it.
One of your gardeners?
We had five. We didn't want them. The garden did.
Five gardeners.
No, I'm sure Aunt Iris wouldn't like you.
Oh, and I wouldn't like her. I know her type. The kind that loves England and detests Englishmen.
Really? You talk like one of those Hyde Park tub thumpers who go in for class hatred. My dear man, you're 25 years out of date. You're two wars behind.
The voice of England. The good old England that loves its horses and its cows and sheep because they'll never ask for a raise in pay.
Clive, why do you punish yourself? You ask me, how big is our house? How much land have we got? What does it matter?
No, it doesn't really. Nothing matters. We're on a holiday, and you're very beautiful.
Welcome back, Mr. Clive. Welcome back to the coach and horses. And welcome to you, miss.
Prue, this is old Ramsbottom I was telling you about. He owns the inn.
How do you do?
Do our rooms face the sea?
Two of the best, sir. We're fair empty the way they've been leaving today.
Your guests have been leaving.
The Jerry's were over Portsmouth last night, so the guests got sort of jittery, sir. Last one went this afternoon. Mrs. Catherway it was.
Catherway?
Mrs. Iris Catherway. Catherway Manor. Do you happen to know her, miss?
You see...
Look, Ramsay, bring the bags in, will you?
Right, sir. I'll go and fetch them, sir.
Who was it, Drew? Aunt Iris?
Yes. When is the next train out?
In
tomorrow morning, I think. Why?
I'm going back.
Just because she was here? Just because she...
Please, Ty. Don't let's quarrel about it.
Oh, sorry.
If you'll excuse me now, I'll go up to my room. If there is permitting, I'd like to get some sleep. Calling out.
Calling out? What was I saying?
Dreadful things. Clive, what is it? Why don't you tell me?
Oh, it's nothing, really. Sometimes when I get overtired, I... Hey, that act's pretty heavy, isn't it? We're in for a bit, I think.
Listen. You can hear the planes.
About six of them. Flying low.
How can you tell?
By the sound.
Where did you learn that? In France. You did, didn't you? You were in the army.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm out of it now.
You're wounded.
I was ill.
Oh, Clive. I'm so proud of you.
Proud?
I'm proud you were there. Clive, they're getting closer. I'm afraid I'm not very brave.
Oh, that's nonsense, darling. Of course you're brave.
No, I couldn't even stand up to Aunt Iris.
Aunt Iris? Now, there's a nice thought to carry with you through an air raid.
Funny how lovely and innocent a thing like this can be. And then suddenly someone mentions Aunt Iris, and it all seems sordid and shabby. That one was very close.
Oh, the closer the better. One chance in a million for two bombs to hit the same spot.
It was worse than this at Dunkirk, wasn't it? But it must have been 100 times worse. Clive.
Yes?
I'm so glad you were there.
Are you?
And I'm glad you're here now. Glad we're both here. Everything seems clean and fine again.
No Aunt Iris around?
I don't think I'm afraid of Aunt Iris anymore. Clive. I'm going to stay. Oh, darling. I can't it always be like this. No one else. Just the two of us here by the sea.
I'll keep it this way for you, Prue. I'll make the sun stand still. The days won't have beginning or end. I'll make the moon and the stars and the...
Mr. Clive! Mr. Clive!
I believe I was a little optimistic. Over here, Ramsey, by the cliff.
Mr. Clive, there's a chap at the inn would like to see you. A fellow in uniform.
Uniform?
King's Leicester Regiment, I think. Said just to tell you his name was Monty.
Well, Clive... This is a friend of yours. Hadn't you better go in?
I'll go. You stay here, Prue. If you don't mind, I'd like to see him alone.
You've got the physic, Clive. Absence without leave is one thing, but desertion is another. You got a month sick leave. It was up a week ago. Seems we've been pretty good pals.
Oh, you can save it, Monty. I'm not going back.
Now let's talk sense, Clive. We all get sick and tired of it sometimes. Ready to clear out and quit, but when the time comes, we always go back. We go back and stand up and take more.
Monty, you don't understand. It's not what you're talking about. It's nothing to do with being afraid or tired or sleeping in the mud or going without food. It's something you can't even to put into words.
I don't know what I'll tell the captain. Monty, sir. Monty, you're his pal. Go find him and bring him back. If he's not here by Monday, I'll have to post him as a deserter. He's too good a man to have his life ruined.
Yeah, sir, that's very kind of the captain.
I guess he hasn't forgotten what you did with Dan Kirk. Put you up for a medal, you know.
I'm sorry. It's good of you to go to all this trouble, Burgundy, but I'm not going back.
Then my coming down here was useless.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. After all, you're going to meet Prue.
Clive, I liked your friend. He was nice, I thought. And very fond of you, too. Have you known him very long? Well, have you? Clive?
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry, dear.
Clive, what's wrong? You've been in such a mood all day, and Monty looked so worried when he left. What is it, Clive? Why don't you tell me?
Now, look, Prue, I just...
Please, I've got to know.
Well, it's about a friend of Monty's who joined the army the day the war began.
Yes?
He wanted to fight. He had ideals. Nice, bright, shining ideals. Only they got a little tarnished along the way. His dreams, his hopes for England. He began to wish he could just forget them. That made him quite a problem to his pals, to himself.
Is Monty expected to answer his friend's problem?
Monty can't answer it.
Maybe not. He might ask his friend if it's the time to doubt and argue when his country is fighting for its life. But if we lost the war...
England might be changed.
Oh, Clive, that's terrible. You mustn't think such things. If England must be changed, let's do it ourselves. Let us decide it, not the enemy. Think, Clive. No, don't think. Don't ask your mind. Just ask your heart what England means.
I don't think with my heart. Well, why don't you tell me?
Oh, I don't know if I can. It's like pulling a flower apart to see what it's made of. England is Shakespeare and the discontent in Hyde Park and the cliffs of Dover. Asters and bluebells and the sun and the fog. It's taxi horns and the bodies and the sense of fair play we've given the world. It's you, Clive. Whatever you are. Blood and bone, mind and heart and spirit. England made you, every part of you. That's why you've got to go back and fight, because that's England, too. Knowing that we'll never give in. Knowing that we won't be beaten. We won't. We just won't.
This is goodbye, Prue. I have to write it because I couldn't say it. I'll be gone when you get this in the morning. That's only fair to you. I don't know where I'm going. I don't think I care. But our coming from the darkness into the light of knowing each other was very, very sweet. Yours, Clive. Oh, Prue, darling, goodbye.
Excuse me, sir. That's the office street in the rain. Pretty dangerous out here.
Dangerous?
Looks that have been over twice tonight. No telling what they'll do.
One.
Yes, Sally, right here.
Number 42, direct hit.
Well, it looks pretty bad.
Number 42.
Family named Plume, two women and a child. Did you get them out?
Couldn't get the kid. The mother said going off a beam. Yelling and screaming and crying.
You mean the child? Still in there?
He's in the cellar, sir.
Well, why don't you get him out?
Well, can't, sir. We tried. Couldn't get through the flames.
But you mean you're just leaving the poor kid down there?
Happens that way sometimes, sir. Enough to make a man wish it. Mr. Waite, come back. You can't sit in there. You can't.
He
kept saying your name, miss, over and over. And in his pocket we found a letter he hadn't posted.
Thank you, Doctor. Can I go in now?
Oh, just a moment.
Clive.
Prue, you're here.
Don't try to talk, darling.
Prue, I'm going back. I've made up my mind. It's all clear now. I love you, darling. I love you very much.
Clive.
I'm afraid he can't hear you now.
Doctor.
Don't be afraid. And if you tomorrow, I'd like to give the bride away myself.
Oh. Monty left these cigarettes, Clive, for a wedding present. Said he'd get something permanent after a while.
Good old Monty.
And the captain was by while you were sleeping. He said he needed you to get well soon. He left a book for you.
A book?
Shakespeare, because you're such a highbrow.
You know, Prue, all that time after I left you, I kept walking and walking. I seemed to be two men struggling against each other. Heart and mind. And the mind was always stronger.
Until a child needed help.
One little Englishman who had to be saved. Nothing else seemed important.
Nothing else was. Listen to that. Here we go again.
Now, they don't leave us alone, do they?
Very warning, miss. You'll have to go.
Nurse, I'd rather stay here with my husband.
Oh, darling, you must go.
Nonsense. I always feel safest with you.
But, miss...
I'm afraid she's very stubborn, nurse.
Very well, but you shouldn't be here.
Poor soul. She doesn't understand. Now, sir, we've got another air raid to talk our way through. Shall we start with Aunt Iris?
Oh, heaven forbid. Prue, I wish you'd read to me.
Shakespeare?
Well, why not?
There's a bit in Hamlet I've always loved. First act, I think. Just above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day.
Thou canst not then be false to any man.
Just heard Mr. Ronald Coleman and Miss Olivia de Havilland in Eric Knight's This Above All, dramatized for radio by Harry Cronman. Gordon Jenkins composed and conducted the original music, and direction was by Arch Obler. In a moment, Mr. Coleman and Miss de Havilland will return to speak by shortwave radio with two Canadian fighting men somewhere in England. But first, a word for you. Hot weather can be hard on car batteries. And now, with gasoline rationing, lower driving speeds, and few miles of driving, frequent and regular inspection of your battery should be a must. So have your car dealer, serviceman, or any one of the thousands of Autolite battery dealers check your car battery at least once each month. It's a good habit and will help you avoid the three major causes of battery failure: low water level, undercharging, and overcharging. When you drive in, ask for Autolite's 4-point battery checkup. Your dealer or serviceman will take a reading of the battery charge, check the water level, remove corrosion from the terminals, and tighten down the bracket. And take his advice if he says you need a new battery. Ask for an Autolite, the battery built for long life and dependable power. The battery that is the choice of many leading automotive engineers for the cars they once built, and for the fighting equipment they are building today. Remember, the name Autolite means precision manufacturing.
And now, Olivia, let's be on our way to an invasion base facing Europe.
That makes me feel just like a shortwave commando.
Well, we'll be dropping in on a couple of Canadians who have been fighting for several years. A timely visit, too, because Canada is again proving its staunch support of her fighting men through the 6th Victory Lone Drive.
Mr. Coleman, we're going to England. Ready, sir?
All right, Olivia, put on this earphone.
Earphone on.
And we're out. This is Ronald Coleman and Olivia de Havilland calling a base in England.
is Hollywood calling. Come in, fellows.
Hello, Hollywood. This is Petty Officer George Caswell of the Royal Canadian Navy speaking.
Greetings, George.
Shake hands across the sea, Mr. Colvin.
Is that your Private Crozier?
Yes, sir. Private Earl Crozier in person.
How are you, boys?
Okay, and how are you, Mr. Haviland?
Well, how am I? I'm excited.
You're excited. You want to see us over here.
Well, we know how you feel. Even at this distance, we're all holding our breath for D-Day.
That's going to be a great day, Mr. Coleman. And it's going to be our day, United Nations Day.
Right. Now, we have news from home for you. George, we called your mother in Victoria, British Columbia. She's in fine health, and she sends a message.
Here it is in her own words. Longing to see you, look after yourself, and hurry home. And she has a postscript. But tell George I'm just like a lot of mothers, and he'll have to finish the job over there first.
Father, that's just what we're doing.
And George, your father says you're just the man to do it.
Did I say that, Mr. Yeah. Coleman? I'd like to tell you and everybody else about George, the owner. That's my father.
Go right ahead.
Dad served 27 years and 10 months with the Royal Navy and won 8 medals. Then he retired. When this war broke out, he joined right up again, this time with the Royal Canadian Navy. He's the chief petty officer at the Victoria Barracks. So you see, I've got quite a record to shoot at.
Well, your mother said you're a chip off the old block, but you're making your own records and have already got 2 medals.
Well, I lost those and almost lost myself a few days ago. My destroyer, HMCS Athabascan, was sunk in this channel on April the 29th.
Can you tell us anything about it, George?
Well, I was on the bridge, and then suddenly I was in the water. I had quite a bath for a while, but they fished me out, and I'm quite safe and happy now. Next time I cross the channel, I want to head right to the shore on the other side with the rest of the boys.
Yes. Well, George, we know you've been away for a long time, and while we can't bring you home, we thought perhaps we could bring a little of home to you. You were a farmer before you became a sailor, so for a couple of seconds, see if this reminds you of that farm on Wolf Island in Ontario where you used to work. Olivia, will you oblige? All right. That was Olivia de Havilland's idea of a barnyard. How was that, George?
See, Mr. Coleman, I could smell the hay.
You could smell the hay.
And you, Earl Crozier, we got in touch with your wife in Toronto. And she wants you to know that she's listening to this broadcast, and the whole family is delighted to hear your voice again.
Well, after being away from Canada for 4.5 years, including action in Sicily and Italy, it's wonderful to be able to say hello to home, especially to my wife, Dorothy, and my little girl, Linda.
You've never seen your daughter, have you, Earl?
No, sir, I've never seen Linda. She was born shortly after I went to war.
But your wife says Linda has blue eyes, really curly blonde hair, and looks like her father.
Poor kid.
And Linda tells everyone that she looks just like Daddy, so she knows you'll recognize her when you come home.
Yes, Earl. We wish we could have brought you and Linda together, but at least we know that she is listening in and she's hearing your voice for the first time.
Gosh, I don't know what to say except, well, Linda, baby, this is your daddy. You're 4 years old now, and I guess you understand why we haven't seen each other all this time. There's a good reason. At least what's to come out of it will be good for you, Linda. I hope to get into the big show and help finish it up quick, so I can see you. And, honey, I don't think we'll have any trouble recognizing each other. I'd know you anywhere in the world.
Linda will never forget that message, Earl.
Time's up, Mr. Coleman.
All right, thank you. Well, that's all for now, men. Best of luck to you.
Thanks, Mr. Coleman, and to all the people in Canada. You keep buying those war bonds, and we'll keep investing them the best way we know how, for victory.
And that's a sure thing, too. Good night, everybody, and to you, Dorothy and Linda.
Good night, men.
Good night, and God bless you.
Next week, Autolite cordially invites you to another program of Everything for the Boys, your new global half hour, uniting the home front and the battle fronts overseas. Your host, Mr. Ronald Coleman, will have as his guest, Miss Loretta Young. in the radio premiere of Blythe Spirit, adapted by Arch Obler, and dedicated to a pair of fighting Yanks who will speak by shortwave from their base in New Guinea.
Our thanks to Olivia de Havilland. Until next week, when Loretta Young will be our guest, this is Ronald Coleman saying good night to you and the boys, and God be with you.